is Philippa Bailey with Walking on the Chinese Wall. I'm told that they played this one especially for me. Thank you so much. Sometimes they love me. Sometimes they do right by me. I'm talking about my team, of course. It's always fun here behind the scenes on the Jet Set Breakfast. We're always a little bit delirious every single morning, as one would be, you know, on a morning breakfast show. Remember that you can be a part of the Big Fat Juicy Selections every single weekend. And all you have to do really is SMS us on 41391, remembering that SMSs are charged at R1.50, or you can WhatsApp us on 061-410-4107. That is where you can send through your Big Fat Juicies. Standing by on the line now is Professor Sally Archibald, who is a professor in animal, plant and environmental sciences out at WITS. Good morning to you, Sally.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Let's jump straight into it. I get the feeling I'm going to be learning quite a bit from our conversation this morning. So there was an article in Science by various academics where they were arguing strongly about the restoration interventions and in terms of grasslands, how to preserve them, how to ensure that there's long-term plans for them, and also understanding the complexities of ancient grasslands. But I think the base question for people like myself, who really, you know, have no knowledge whatsoever in terms of plant and environmental sciences, you know, just to get us to understand, what are grasslands? I think we have a vague picture in our minds, but what are grasslands, and why are they so imperative to not only the life forms that sort of inhabit within them, but also just to the animal and human life forms around them and in the environment around them?
Yeah, okay. Well, let's start talking about what grasslands are before we start talking about restoring them and conserving them. Yeah, so, I mean, Africa is the continent of grasslands. 70% of Africa is covered by beautiful grassy ecosystems. It's where we graze our cattle, like cows eat grass. Right? Mm. So all of our rangelands, or support most of the people in Africa, are grasslands. And many of them are natural, beautiful, indigenous grasslands that people still live in and keep cattle in. Mm. So the wonderful thing about grasslands is they're sort of human ecosystems that humans like to live in.
Mm-hmm.
But moreover, all of our wonderful biodiversity, you know, the rhinos, the elephants, the wildebeest, they also live in grasslands and depend on these beautiful grassy ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of the charismatic vegetation of Africa. But unfortunately, because lots of the conservation imperatives and lots of the sort of ideas around how we should manage the world come from other continents, there's been a bit of a focus on conserving and restoring and managing forests. And in fact, you know, if you speak to someone in Europe, they think of nature and they think of forests as being the same thing.
Mm.
But for us, nature is more than just forests. We have lots of beautiful nature that includes other ecosystems, like our gorgeous grasslands.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Absolutely got you. Because, you know, in our mind, when we picture, we obviously, as you sort of making it very lame for us to understand that really it is the grasslands as we see it, as we depend on them in and around our environment. You almost segregate it for those of us who don't work within the space and don't have sort of the academic know-how. When we think grasslands or wetlands, we think of very small segregated portions of the environment. And we almost separate ourselves and our existence from it. And we go, well, it's the parts that would affect the wildlife and not the human species. And that is how we kind of rationalize it in our heads. But really, it is, we are very much dependent on the survival and the preservation of the grasslands, because it is where we inhabit. It is also where we ourselves, our own sustainability and sustenance depends on them being preserved and being sustained and being generated. Am I correct?
Yes, I would say so. So, yeah, I mean, you know, in Africa, most of us, many of us still depend on the natural environment for our livelihoods.
Mm.
It is these grassy ecosystems that support us.
Mm.
But the other challenge is, you know, we also need to grow food at large scale to support our growing population.
Mm.
And so many of the grasslands in South Africa, for example, were already ploughed up many years ago. You know, if you drive through the Free State, all those mealie plants, all those mealie fields, they used to be natural grasslands, and now they're providing food for us. Which isn't a bad thing. We need to feed people, but we do need to think carefully around where and how we do plough these grasslands, because it takes many, many, many years for them to recover from these plants.
So how do we strike a balance then? You know, if you depend on these vast lands to feed a very growing population, 55 million in excess of people, but you still need, you know, these vast lands to function in their original natural form. How do we then strike the balance between preserving nature as it is, but also advancing development of human species?
Right. Well, I think, you know, there are some grasslands that are more sensitive than others. So just thinking around, if we're going to, well, the first point, I suppose, is to make that people can live in grasslands and preserve a lot of the natural processes and still live in them. So all of our rangeland, like I mentioned, you know, where people live and they cut down trees and their cows graze, those systems are still pretty much beautiful grasslands with amazing biodiversity. If we do feel the need, like if we do need to plow up land for agriculture, we need to think carefully where we're going to do that. And then also in South Africa, actually, we are abandoning a lot of our previously plowed areas. There's sort of a reduction in the area that we're plowing. So in South Africa, farmers who own pieces of land, I would suggest be really careful. If you're going to plow up new land, rather go find some land that's already been plowed and use that. So just think before you do like more sort of damage to ecosystems, and maybe try find areas that have already been plowed. So that's the challenge for South Africa, is we're urbanizing people, we're moving to sort of large-scale agriculture, so farmers who own patches of land must think twice before they do more expansion of plowing and agriculture.
You sort of alluded to you know, that it takes years, and I read somewhere that it could take millennia for these grasslands to regenerate themselves.
So this is something, yet again, I suppose it's a sort of Eurocentric perspective where people think, oh, a grassland, it recovers quickly. You stop plowing and then the grass comes in and then it's fixed. But actually our ecosystems are these ancient, beautiful ecosystems. And it's not only grasses that grow there. You have big, beautiful, old, knotted like roots and trees and wildflowers. And those organisms take many, many, many. I mean, we actually have never found a patch of land that's been plowed that has returned back to what it used to be. It can slowly recover over time, but it takes centuries. So, in fact, this work was known back in at this university where I work. People studied this back in the 50s. They showed that when they went to patches of land that had been plowed, the types of species that grow there are not the same as in what we call an old growth or an ancient grassland that hasn't been disturbed too much. So again, that's just to let people know. We used to think of grasslands as these sort of easy systems, and you know, there's no trouble. You can use them, and then they'll bounce back. But they don't bounce back really quickly. So we must be careful.
I mean, it kind of sounds to some degree that we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, with more urbanization than industrialization coming through, and agricultural farming and all the rest of it, you know, and trying to figure out the best possible way to move. And then I'm thinking about an area like KZN, for instance. I was there this past week, and there's vast agricultural fields there. As you know, it's rich for vegetation, then they had the floods, and now we're looking at relocating entire communities, communities in the tens of thousands. So how important is it for, you know, local governments, municipal governments, to sort of be in conversations with people like yourself, with experts like yourself in the environmental sectors, to find places that we can expand on, that we can plow, that we can settle people or industrialize and use for agricultural purposes, but we're doing the least amount of damage? Because now you've painted that picture in our heads that we can't up and move and think that, oh, this is just going to regenerate in 10 years time while we are busy here messing it up on the other side. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've summarized it really well, but I think we're lucky in South Africa because we do have really good, it's about land use planning, I think is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have really good knowledge. The South African National Biodiversity Institute has good knowledge about our ecosystems and which ones are more sensitive. And they work with government. So that, you know, we do have the capacity to do this land use planning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what we're saying is, you know, if we're already using these systems, and like you say, the ones in KwaZulu-Natal are incredibly productive. We grow an amazing amount of sugarcane, and that's like, you know, it provides resources and jobs for people. So let's just use the land that we're using really well to the best of our ability and make sure that we think when we do land use planning and manage these trade-offs. It's really just about making sure we don't do something we're going to regret again.
I got you. Sally Archibald, thank you so much for enlightening us this morning. Sally is, by the way, putting some respect on her name, Professor Sally Archibald, who's a professor in animal, plant and environmental sciences out at WITS, enlightening us about the sensitivities of our grasslands in South Africa and perhaps being more conscious planners in terms of how we move in society, how we develop the places. Sorry, Sally?
Can I put a little plug for a new project that we're doing just to let everyone know about it? We have this new program called the Future Ecosystems for Africa program, which is trying to do just this, to manage the trade-offs. And we have a particular project in that around grasslands and mapping where our grasslands are and helping people to plan where they should put in new agriculture.
Love.
So we're hoping that we can make a difference here.
Lovely. I'm sure you will and definitely will come in handy, you know, especially I think from a governmental perspective in terms of planning on that grand scale and big industrialist as well, as people continue to search for lands to set up their operations. That kind of information is definitely of vital importance. Thank you so much, Professor Sally Archibald,
have a lovely day.
For joining us this morning. It's just gone 20 past 8 o'clock on Jet Set Breakfast.